Hi, I'm Aman.
And I'm Lena.
And we are Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Huzzah!
Yeah, I got nothing after that. Yep.
I know. That's why I like saying huzzah, because you still haven't figured out what to say after that.
Cue theme music. All right, today we are talking about, finally, Thor, Love and Thunder.
Boom, 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 boom.
Okay, first impressions, I'm on like literally up to three bullet points, brief bullet points.
Okay, first impressions. It was fun and it kind of didn't live up to the full potential that it could have.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like.
Okay. Were there other bullet points you wanted to
say? I mean, so many bullet points to discuss. I mean,
we can get into it deeper later. Yes. But I mean, just quick sentences. Okay.
It was entertaining. There were funny jokes. And it was like, okay, what? Like, it lacked some of that like deeper research that I would have expected when delving into a pantheon of ancient gods.
Right. Yes. Totally agree with that assessment.
Your turn.
Okay. So agree. I thought it was funny and entertaining with like a shrug kind of feel. I was hoping for an actual team up story with the Guardians.
Right.
That's kind of what I thought Endgame was setting us up for. And
I know.
Yeah.
And then it didn't.
And then it
never
didn't.
Happened.
It didn't
I
happen.
I feel like Marvel does this often where they'll like tease something at the end of a movie or an end credits or something. Mm-hmm. And then they touch on it later, but it's not the full payout that you were hoping for from that tease.
Right. Well, sometimes they tease something and then something crazy happens where, I don't know, like, not that something like this has happened, but like, I'm like, you know, like if an actor leaves or whatever, you know, like you have to change the story from what you were originally planning, whatever.
Right.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
For this, there was like no obvious reason for why they did that. Anyway, so that was the second thing. And also I was surprised that I liked Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness more than this movie.
That was surprising.
I was expecting to like this one a lot because I loved Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Actually, no, let me be honest. I didn't like Thor Ragnarok at first because I thought it was such a 180 degree turn from Thor's character initially, mm-hmm. which was like very much like a Shakespearean drama. And
or was trying to be at least.
Right. But then when I watched it again and stuff, I was like, yeah, you know what? This is amazing. This is like the best version. I love Taika Waititi. Yeah. You know, honestly, like I liked the trailer for Thor Love and Thunder more than the actual film because I thought they were setting up and okay, now we can dive into the deep stuff. But like, I thought this was setting us up for like a really introspective journey into Thor and what does he do now? Like, what's his purpose now? Now that, you know, Thanos is gone, he's lost so many people. He's gone through so much grief and, you know, like what is going to give him purpose now in life?
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be this journey for him.
It was, you know, and I think the thing is that they just, the writers and Waititi just went too hard on trying to make this a comedy.
Yeah.
And they didn't allow for enough serious moments for us, the audience, to take the character growth and the character journey seriously.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to have humor, but you need to have the serious moments mixed in. Marvel movies, they tended to have I feel like these days they've been leaning too hard into the comedy in the movies because the comedy, it plays well. But, you know, like it plays well while you've still got the serious moments to, you know, to delve into.
Right.
And right. this lacked that. It lacked the seriousness. Like they, and I guess now, you know, spoilers, Jane Foster's predicament was not given the kind of serious weight that it should have been given, you know?
And I think it was given more serious weight in the comics than it was in
I mean, in the comics, it was all serious.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about the, now we're talking about the Mighty Thor run that started in what, 2016?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like the building up this whole mystery of who is the new Thor.
Yeah. For the first several issues, you didn't even know that it was Jane Foster when reading the comics. Yeah. Like no one knew. Yeah.
Well, somebody guessed it right on the bat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I found out by reading the fan letters section. Mm-hmm. And the writers were like, yeah, we got this one letter. We were like, ah, crap, we can't publish this because he got it exactly right.
Oh my God.
Exactly right. He was like, I think it's Jane Foster because she's dying of cancer. And I think what's happening is that Mjolnir is basically making it, is not allowing her to be treated for the cancer somehow. And then she's going to die. And it was like, oh no, this guy guessed the entire plot line journey right from the first issue.
That's so funny. I hope they published it eventually.
I think they did. I'm going to have to go through my boxes and find the issue where they did this. But in the comics, I thought that, and I mean, you know, you called this Thor Love and Thunder, and I'm not really sure, like I wish they had left the Thor part more vague and had this be a movie that was really a lot more equal parts Thor Odinson and the Mighty Thor Jane Foster. I wish they had weighted the character elements a little bit more balanced in this case, you know, and I think that would have made for a more fulfilling movie, maybe not as entertaining of a movie, but a more fulfilling movie, you know, like Jane didn't even get her like picking up Mjolnir moment.
I was kind of waiting for some sort of flashback or something. Delved more into that.
I don't know. The costume shows up, she gets all buff and you know, credit to Natalie Portman, she got super ripped
this role. On her arms it's prosthetics actually.
Oh my God, that is the most.
But I think she did get fit. I think, but maybe for the scenes where there's like super more close up of her arms, I think it's.
Damn it.
I heard. Yep. I will double check that. I'll verify it and, you know, confirm in the show notes.
I hope this is one of those things where somebody's just like making stuff up for clickbait.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll confirm later. So yeah, what did you think in general about like, I mean, I think this movie was trying to give some sort of closure between Thor and Jane, because I felt like they were trying to do that a while ago. And I don't know, Natalie Portman didn't really want to be in the movies, or she wasn't available to be in some of the movies.
She got really ticked off when they fired Patty Jenkins to do Thor the Dark World. And she had to do the movie under contract. And then after that, refused to work with Marvel again. Mm. And that's why they had their whole breakup off screen, you know, like Thor and breakup off screen, and she was just kind of like existed.
Right. And she was not in Endgame or anything, right?
And she was in Endgame. There was a very brief shot of her in Endgame, but I don't know if that was new footage or archive footage.
Yeah. Unclear.
Yeah.
But anyway, they got her back somehow.
Waititi convinced her apparently that like, hey, this is going to be like not Jane Foster, you know, arm candy to Thor and, you know, whatever, like she's going to be Thor. Like Jane Foster is Thor. And I'm sure that having drawing from the comics was also something. It's like, hey, look, this is the storyline that we're going to be working on. This is what we want you to bring to life, you know? And I'm sure that convinced her to come back, and she had a great role in the movie.
Yeah. Then in that case, I kind of wish it was like entirely a Jane Foster Thor movie.
I know.
Like, you might as well have just done that, because I just didn't see, I wasn't feeling like really much of the emotional journey for Thor Odinson. And I don't know. It was just too, like, I mean, Chris Hemsworth is an amazing comedic actor. And on top of being a dramatic actor too. So I know they wanted to obviously use those skills of his, but it was was not in balance.
He can act, he looks good, and he's funny. I mean,
I mean, come on. So
like, I want to be this guy.
Right. But what did you think of like his, the purpose they eventually gave him at the end of the movie?
So the main takeaway, the lesson that I took away from this, and I feel like it's something even more accentuated amongst beings who are or would be immortal, all right? And it's just, but it's just as true for us mortal beings, is that life has the purpose that you give it, you know? And the purpose that we find in other people, the other people that we have in our lives. And I think that was the message that Star-Lord was trying to convey to Thor at the beginning of the movie, which is, you know, when I'm feeling lost and ungrounded, I look into the eyes of the people that I love.
Right.
All right. And Thor didn't really have that. He'd lost so many people in his life. And rather than giving it the dramatic moments that it needed to convey that, they turned it into a set of jokes.
Yeah.
You know, which was kind of disappointing. But I think that was the main takeaway. And then you have at the very end of the movie, Gore, the God Killer, you know, bringing his daughter back to life at the cost of his own life. And in that, you know, Thor was like, hey, it was kind of like, you know, he reaches this point where he all of a sudden has somebody in his life where he can give his life some purpose in terms of taking care of somebody else, in terms of taking care of, in this case, a child, you know, who really nobody else can take care of, because apparently she's got superpowers and shoots lasers out of her eyes.
Unclear. That was, I don't know what happened with that. Yeah, that was a much nicer way of putting it than I think it was conveyed in the film. I don't know.
It was very poorly conveyed. I was stretching. I'm stretching to find a positive. You know me. Like, and this is just kind of how we do things. Anything that we're looking at, we try to look at it through a positive lens first here on Grounded Geeks, you know?
Right.
I feel like it takes a lot for us to bash something for no good reason.
Does it? I don't know. I feel like we're kind of negative sometimes.
I mean, we're negative about the world, but not necessarily the pieces of art, whether they be comics or novels or movies, because
that's
putting
true.
A lot of time and effort into putting this together, you know, and I don't want them to feel like their work has gone wasted. I mean, this was a hilarious movie, but it lacked a lot of things that I really wish were there.
Yeah.
Like, City ticked me off.
Yeah.
I hated it.
It was really funny when it was Russell Crowe being Zeus. I was like, that's hilarious. But yeah, they definitely clearly are setting up for more interactions there with the post-credit scene, right?
So. Yes. I mean, you've got, what's his name? Brett Goldstein?
Yeah.
Playing Hercules.
Yes.
You know, and I feel like there's a lot of excellent comedy being set up for a future confrontation between Thor and Hercules, which is a thing in the comics, apparently. But the concept of omnipotent city really ticked me off. And also, why is Zeus like the head honcho of the gods in omnipotent city? That made no sense to me whatsoever.
Wait, all right? Why not?
So if you look at general mythology, all right, you have beings that created the universe, that created, you know, part of world creation myths, all right? Zeus isn't even a creation god. You know, I feel like there's got to be other beings that outrank Zeus, quite frankly.
Well, in Greek mythology, who does outrank Zeus?
So the world was who would outrank Zeus, the sky and the ocean.
Yeah, but what are their names again?
Uranus and
Poseidon?
No. Gaia.
Gaia. Who's Poseidon? He's the god, isn't he? The god.
He's Zeus's brother.
Yeah, but he's like the god of the ocean.
The ocean and earthquakes, I guess. And he made horses.
So random. Okay.
So in the Greek pantheon, Zeus is the king of the gods. Right. All right? But if you're and so like fine, he's the head, and that was through like a whole bunch of like killing his own dad, the Titan Kronos, you know,
right,
who created the world. However, mm-hmm. the Titans themselves were born from the sky and the earth mating, you know, and so you have them. You have Gaia, the spirit of the earth, who's like the mother of all monsters of the Titans, and then subsequently also the giants, right? But the gods are actually the children of the Titans. All right. Right.
Okay.
Or for the most part. I mean, you also have Aphrodite, who's a goddess, but she's actually like older than any of the other gods. She just like is a god, but she was kind of born from like the frothing of Eros falling into the ocean or something. There's some like Greek mythology is really weird. All right. Like Eros got like chopped up or something and fell into the ocean, and the frothing of him in the ocean created a clamshell from which Aphrodite was born. Like weird. Greek mythology is really weird.
Question. Who was Eros the god of?
The god of like lust.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe what Marvel's trying to do is set it up so that Zeus isn't actually the one on top. Like we're having, like maybe they're setting up like a Wizard of Oz situation where Zeus was definitely that whole scene with Zeus was definitely mm-hmm. one of those moments like, don't meet your heroes because they suck.
Yes.
So,
yes, definitely.
I feel like they're building up to that. Maybe they'll introduce more gods.
I mean, they kind of did introduce that because you've got the Celestials, mm-hmm. right, who were not around, mm-hmm. okay, in Omnipotent City. It was like a whole group of gods from across the universe who appear to be gods in the same way that like that Thor and Odin and Loki are gods, where they just happen to be super powerful alien beings. All right.
Right.
And even in the original, even in the first Thor movie, it was implied that like, hey, these humans worship us as gods, but we know better. You know, mm-hmm. their lives may be the blink of an eye, but even we won't be around forever. I think Loki and Odin had some kind of a conversation like that.
Okay.
All right. So thinking is maybe the Greek pantheon is even also based on some form of aliens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But so that's why like I feel like this movie it changed the mm-hmm. whole premise of gods in of gods in the MCU, but it also doesn't jive with human mythology as it exists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Stan Lee always said that he wanted Marvel Comics to be was the world outside your window. All right. Like the entire idea that you look out the window and you could imagine Spider-Man just swinging across your window.
Right. Right.
That's why all these heroes are based in like actual places like New York City. Yeah. All mm-hmm. right. But if you're then going to delve into real pantheons, you know, into real mythology, into actual historical mythology, I don't want to say that it's, you know, any more or less real or anything like that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to delve into historical mythologies on which human civilization is actually based on,
yeah, right,
do your research and actually make the comic story that you're trying to tell meld into that.
Yeah.
A little mm-hmm. better, you know? Mm-hmm. And in this case, it just didn't do that. It just threw it all out the window in every way, shape, and form, in yeah. my opinion, you know? Mm-hmm. And that really upset me because mm-hmm. I'm a geek and a nerd.
Yes. As are we both. Yes.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It just occurred to me that Moon Knight was very much delving into Egyptian mythology, and with Thor: Love and Thunder, we saw Greek mythology happening there. And I wonder if they are going to just sort of play up that more or explore that more in general.
Right.
And then also, wait, what is going on with the Eternals? Like, are they abandoned? Is Marvel abandoning that? I thought I heard something that.
No idea.
Okay. I heard that they might just sort of abandon that whole Eternals storyline, but I again need to verify this. So
yeah, I mean, they did kind of do it in a way where it's like you either go all in or you don't.
Yeah.
You know,
I think a lot of people were not that convinced with their reasoning for not intervening when Thanos was there. Like I think for a lot of people, it wasn't a good enough reason.
Yeah. I mean, yes, not a good enough reason, but also it's like, there could be so much more to that. And who cares what the reason is for not, like, we're done with that part of the MCU now. I'm done with that.
Are we done with it? Well, that's what I mean.
I'm done with that storyline. All right.
Oh, wait. And then wasn't Harry Styles, wait, who is he playing?
Yeah, Thanos' brother? Fox.
No, what's his name? It's not
Star Fox.
No, wasn't it like Eros?
Yeah, the Star Fox or some, wasn't
I,
some.
Okay,
some
you're just saying Star Fox like, at me and yeah, I don't know what
that
means.
That's what I'm remembering.
What the hell is Star Fox, man? What? Okay, Thanos hold on.
Adopted brother or some.
No, his name is like not that. Star Fox. Where did you get that from? I'm looking this up. Hold on. Hold, please. Oh, God. Hold on. It's.
We're gonna reduce this
Eros, yeah. His name in Eternals is Eros. So maybe there is gonna be a huge ass Greek mythology twist thing going on.
Maybe.
Or is this just a totally different Eros?
See, that was the whole thing also about Eternals, is that Eros is part of the whole Eternals pantheon that that Jack Kirby created.
Yeah.
But he didn't really like tie it into real mythology that well either. He just kind of picked names out of a hat, like Athena is based on Athena, who is part of the Greek pantheon. And
and now I'm just looking up who the hell is Star Fox. Eros. Okay. Okay, then, so they're the same thing, but they never mention it in the MCU. Yes. Okay, so we don't know.
I thought Star Fox was in the list of titles.
No, it was Eros. Yeah. That's funny.
So where I was going. Yeah. I mean, basically the whole thing with the whole introduction of the Greek pantheon and the Eternals, it's just a mess. It was not thought through properly. And quite frankly, for me, that's unforgivable because it's not like isn't a lot of source material that they could have researched to make this all hang together.
Right. Agreed. So I don't know. I'm kind of nervous now in general. About all of this.
Yeah. It's just kind of going off the rails a little.
Yeah. But they also, I mean, just last week or the week before, they announced at San Diego Comic-Con all the different, the rest of, what are we in? Phase what? Hold on.
I don't know. 5, 4, 5, 6. Who even cares anymore?
I think we're ending. No, I need like images of that screen. Here we go. Yes. So we're ending phase 4 and phase 5 is basically starting in 2023 with Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Okay.
There's going to be that. There's going to be something called Secret Invasion on Disney Plus. Then Guardians of the Galaxy, Echo, Loki season 2, Marvels, Blade in November, 2023, Ironheart. Yay.
Yay.
There's going to be a whole show about just Agatha. That'll be interesting because now we're bringing witches in.
Yeah.
So what the fuck?
I mean, the world of the MCU is about to get a lot more complicated.
Right.
And in a way where I think our expectations of how the MCU has hanged together during the first 3 phases just kind of needs to go out the window. I think at this point, we all just need to enjoy each movie in and of itself.
Yes, I agree with you. For the sake of your own sanity. Just do that.
For the sake of your own sanity.
When you've got things like Quantum Mania, okay, and Loki, which is clearly dealing with like multiversal, whatever the fuck.
Right.
You've got the Marvels, which is definitely going to deal with dimensions because Ms. Marvel's bracelet lets her jump time, dimensions, whatever. We don't even know about that.
Right.
And then you're going to have witches with Agatha. What's Blade's deal?
He's a vampire hunter.
Oh, God. Okay. So we got vampires. We got witches. There's also going to be Daredevil in Phase 5, Spring 2024.
Yes,
Daredevil
and surprise,
born again.
And surprise, Daredevil's a werewolf.
Oh, God. Shut up.
I'm kidding. Okay. I'm kidding.
Amon is spreading misinformation. Okay. And then there's going to be Captain America New World Order, probably touching on things like racism.
Yes.
There. And then there's Thunderbolt. What is Thunderbolt?
I don't even know, man. Like... One of the wonderful things about the world of comics is that writers and artists really truly do have free rein to do whatever they want to. All right. And because comics are, comparatively speaking, a lot cheaper to make, you can give a lot more people, a lot more creators, an outlet to, not that everybody can be a comic book writer and artist, but a lot more people do get an opportunity than do get an opportunity to make, you know, a Marvel movie, for example.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
So because of that, there's a lot of things where I just don't know. Thunderbolts. I've heard
that's
of
fair.
Them. Not really
yep.
sure.
Yep. That's fair.
Not really
that's
sure fair. What's happening there. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, going back to Thor, Love and Thunder, what did you think about Gore the God Killer? And his motivations, mate, specifically.
I love Christian Bale. I think he did a great job with what he was given.
Yes.
I don't think he was given that much. He's not my favorite villain. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him. I'm like, okay, you lost your daughter. We start off the movie with that. Kind of a bummer.
Right. Kind of a bummer.
And then just goes on to become a god killer. I don't know. It was very basic to me. I did not feel a lot of depth with this villain. This is not ragging on Christian Bale. I just really think like they didn't give him that much in the story. Besides the fact that his daughter died. That was it.
Right. So I think in the comics, Gore the God Butcher is kind of, he's more monster-esque looking, and he's kind of a like been there another god, basically. He's been around forever and this is just what he does, which I'm okay with in terms of like mythologies and things like that, you know. And in this case, I felt a lot of the Killmonger-ness, but not as good, and I'll tell you why. Because with his motivations, with the way that it was, And the problem in this case, I think, was the way it wasn't the character's motivations that were built out poorly. It was the broader world in which his motivations exist that were built out poorly.
You know, I agree with that.
In this case, I was like, Gore is right. You know, if this is how the gods are, you know, towards their followers, he's absolutely right. They should be gone. They do not deserve the responsibility and prayers that they are given, you know? And I was like, I'm on his side.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, don't meet your heroes.
And don't meet your heroes. Yeah. Definitely another lesson, repeat lesson there. But here's the thing is that like, this is also where the backdrop gets messier. Gore is a god killer now. All right. Since he got magic black god killing sword. All right. But they didn't like Asgardians. All right. Are all Asgardians considered gods? Cause now they kind of seem like refugees. You know, is anybody still really praying to Thor? I mean, we found out afterwards that Gore was really just after Stormbreaker. All right.
Right.
To get to his end goal of, you know, magical wishing well or right. whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. But it didn't really, I was hoping for a lot more God butchering, Gore the God Butcher to do.
Uh-huh.
But I thought his motivations were correct. You know, I was like, yeah, that seems like the right move. These people are wrecking havoc in the lives of mortals and convincing people to pray to them and not giving them anything deserving of prayer.
Yep.
So yeah.
Sounds like modern day politicians, quite frankly. Immediately thought of that. Right?
Never thought of it that way.
Give us your money. I get so many fundraising text messages and emails, and
yeah,
it's like to the same people who have been in the government for like decades. And I'm like, I think you should retire. You know, yeah. I don't actually want to give you any of my money.
Yeah.
So, kind of similar in that sense, you know?
Yeah. But that's a problem in the way the US government system functions, where you don't actually have to run on what you have accomplished if you're an incumbent.
Well, clearly you don't have to rule as a god on what you have accomplished either. So there.
Exactly. And I think that's the point you were getting at.
Yeah, exactly. Great.
One interesting thing, little factoid, if I remember correctly, is in the comics, do you know how Thor Odinson no longer became Thor, how he became unworthy of Mjolnir, which opened the doorway for Jane Foster to pick up the hammer?
I forget what happened.
So apparently, Nick Fury whispered something into Thor Odinson's ear, and that something basically made Thor convince himself that he was unworthy.
Why would Nick Fury do that? What a dick.
You know, I don't remember that part because I didn't read that part of the comics. Oh my but gosh. That's what happened.
That's
and
weird.
Apparently what Fury whispered into Thor's ear was Gore was right.
Oh my God. Wow. See, like I just had more of an emotional roller coaster listening to that sentence than I did watching the movie. So like, this is what I wanted. I wanted an emotional journey.
Yes.
With this movie. And I did not get that. So
yeah. Yeah.
I had a fun journey. It's like going on a ride on Splash Mountain. It was fun. Sure.
I did feel like I was watching Our Flag Means Death all over again.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, I did. The humor was all, the comedy was all, it felt all the same. It didn't feel like Thor Ragnarok felt like a Thor movie with a lot of Taika Waititi infused into it.
Right. Yeah.
And this felt like a Taika Waititi movie where it was like, all right, I guess we'll make this about Thor.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it just was like, but it wasn't really about Thor. That's my problem with it. It was not enough about his emotions, and it was too much about his comedy. And but again, like you were saying earlier on this episode, that like, I don't want to, we are very negative about the state of the world, the real world, but I don't want to be negative on like artists who have worked very hard on this product.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a fun movie. Don't get me wrong. It is a fun movie. I'll probably watch it again when it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Because it's fun.
Right.
All right.
Agreed.
But it's
maybe I need to just watch it again. Like,
yeah.
Maybe that's just
on the small screen.
Right. Maybe that's just the thing with, again, I need to rewatch Loki, the series, because.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Which apparently we're the only two people on the planet where we were like, this sucked.
Yeah. And everyone else just loved it. So
I still don't understand why. I kind of want to watch it again, you know, so that I can understand why people liked it. But
I mean, the only part I got super excited and pumped for was when Kang entered the scene.
Yes.
Like then I was like, okay, shit. Like what's going on here? And but like everything before that, I was like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? What's happening? So I really think I need to just rewatch to understand.
I think my biggest problem with Loki was too much tell, not enough show. So
Yeah.
That was a big thing that came down to for me. But anyway. Thor Love and Thunder. That's right. What we were actually talking about.
Yeah. I think we're done talking about it.
Foster.
Yes. More Jane Foster, more emotional journey.
Yes.
Into Thor. Great. And yeah, I think that's a wrap. As always, thank you for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.